Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Charles Kupchan, who was Director of European Affairs on the National Security Council during the Clinton administration. He is now a Professor of International Affairs in Georgetown University School of Foreign Service and is a Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Welcome to Background Briefing, Charles Kupchan.
Thanks, Ian. Good to be back with you.
And I must say, our previous guest from Moscow gave an extremely chilling account of how things could go so wrong and that this could be a long war. He talked about how this is Putin, this is not the Russian military, that they could get bogged down in the spring thaw in the east, and at some point or other, there will be a clash with Ukrainian soldiers, and even if they get defeated in the short term, the Ukrainians could come back, and particularly in the summer, when there's more than just the roads that are navigable. In general, from a defense analyst's point of view, you wonder whether Putin can calibrate this reckless move on his part.
I think a lot depends upon what transpires in the next days and weeks. So far, Putin's appetite seems to be restricted to the Crimean Peninsula, where Russian forces enjoy a position of superiority, vast superiority, where you have a major naval base with about 15,000 troops on it, where you have a newly installed provincial governor who is essentially doing what he's told from Moscow. And it's hard for me to see how Russia's grasp on the peninsula is reversed, except if somehow you got an insurgency, a grassroots insurgency that sort of tried to push the Russians out. Eastern Ukraine is a very, very different kettle of fish. We don't yet know whether the Russians are going to try to muck around there, to stir up trouble, to send in troops, to provoke clashes between ethnic Russians and ethnic Ukrainians. If Russia goes there, then I would say that then I think we're really looking at something that could get very dangerous very quickly and could bite Putin back. I mean, I agree with – I caught the tail end of your last conversation. I agree with the previous speaker that Putin is acting rashly, but I do think that what's happened here is that he has been dealt a terrible blow. I would say this is the worst blow to Russia since the end of the Cold War. It was a diplomatic failure because the Russians bet on Yanukovych, and Yanukovych was thrown out of his own country as a criminal. And it's a strategic blow because Russia lost Ukraine, a country that has been attached to Russia at the hip. Putin wanted Ukraine to be the junior partner in a Eurasian Union. And what happened on the streets of Kiev is as Ukrainians stood up and said, hell no, we've had enough of that. We want to enter Europe. And in that sense, it was a real kick in the shins to Putin. And I think he is wounded, he's angry, and he's acting out. And that's what the Crimean grab is all about.
But Charles Kupchan, what do you think went on then in that 90-minute phone conversation between Putin and Obama?
I'm guessing that it was one of the iciest conversations that takes place in diplomacy. And that's because we know that Obama and Putin don't have a terribly good relationship. The relationship basically came to a crashing halt with the Snowden affair. You'll recall that over the last 5 years or so, Obama implemented what was called the reset with Russia, trying to advance rapprochement. And it worked pretty well when Medvedev was in the Kremlin. And now that Putin is back, it's really come to a screeching halt. And then Obama said over the Snowden affair, when the Russians offered him asylum, listen, it's hard for me to do business with this country. And now that you have what I think by all accounts is a bald act of aggression, the relationship, I think, is very tough. And my guess is that Putin and that Obama were were trying to find some way of avoiding an escalation. But at this point in time, it seems to me the U.S. position and the Russian position are miles apart and in direct contradiction to each other.
Again, I'm speaking with Charles Kupchan, who was Director of European Affairs on the National Security Council during the Clinton administration. He's now a Professor of International Affairs at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service and is a Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. So it is my understanding that the relationship is terrible between Putin and Obama, and that Putin has contempt for Obama and thinks he's kind of weak. And I think it's pretty clear that the U.S. Got had over Syria. What do you think is happening with Obama, though? Has he reached a point where he feels he's got to do something because he's been had and pushed around by this guy?
Well, I wouldn't quite put it in those terms. I don't think Obama has been had. I think he was in a very difficult position in Syria where he wanted to use military force and the American people in Congress weren't ready to back him. And to some extent, the Russians took advantage of that and offered Obama a way out of that impasse. But whether or not Obama has been weak, I think this is a crisis that's really not provoked by American weakness, because the Russians more or less have a hold sway in this part of Europe. Nobody could have prevented them from going in the Crimea if they wanted to. But I do think that we are at a point where Obama has to respond and has to respond with some pretty forceful actions. And that's partly because Obama needs to dig in and demonstrate to some of his critics that he has mettle, but also because this is a pretty flagrant violation of international norms. I think it goes well beyond what happened in Georgia in 2008 when the Russians sent troops into Abkhazia and South Ossetia, two breakaway regions. It is a violation of UN norms against open attacks and violations of sovereignty. And so I expect to see over the next few days, in coordination with European allies, possibly with a wider range of countries, steps ranging from canceling the G20 summit, perhaps withdrawing ambassadors, maybe suspending Russia's participation in the G8, economic sanctions, visa bans. And it's also conceivable to me that there could be military overtones to the U.S. response. And by that, I mean an effort by NATO to bolster defenses along the eastern frontier, perhaps the deployment of troops in Poland, the Baltic countries, and other new members of NATO that feel particularly uneasy with what's happened. If we head down that road, I don't think that one could say we're back in the Cold War, but we're certainly headed toward a relationship with Russia that is much more troubled than it's been since the early 90s when the Soviet Union fell apart.
But Charles Kupchan, wouldn't those kind of dynamics of cutting diplomatic and economic ties and returning to a kind of Cold War-like standoff, wouldn't that play further into Putin's hands? I mean, he's basically blaming all of this on the CIA and the West of meddling in his backyard. It would seem that if the West behaves in that kind of predictable way, basically cuts ties and cuts what, I mean, there's not much of a liberal class left in Russia, clearly. But it seems to be, there's an element of shooting ourselves in the foot too, isn't there, in isolating Russia even further?
Yes, there's no question about that. I mean, if you look at the international agenda right now, the top items on it need cooperation with Russia, right? Syria, Russia is a key player. Iran, if we're going to neutralize Iran's nuclear program. Russia figures prominently. Afghanistan, getting out, trying to deal with a post-withdrawal country. Afghanistan is a place where the Russians have a lot of influence. Energy, about a quarter of European gas comes from Russia. In fact, it flows through Ukraine. The pipelines go from Russia into Ukraine and into the European Union. So there is a huge stake that rides on this. That having been said, you know, what do we do? Do we say Russia is so important that we should just turn a blind eye? I'm afraid we can't do that. But you're right to say that we have to be careful. We need to take steps that say that this kind of intervention in the 21st century is unacceptable, not to mention the 20th century, and find ways of pushing back without doing things that could risk escalation in a way that damages the United States and its Western partners.
So if you were to compare this to, say, Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, which was a violation of international law, they haven't invaded the Ukraine proper. They've taken annexed Crimea, but assuming that things, as Dr. Pavel Feldmajor suggested, they're likely to get a lot worse, and the Russian Parliament has given Putin a blank check to move in anywhere on Ukrainian territory. Would you then, obviously, George Bush number one, 41, he did organize and took his time about it and organized a huge military force from around the world. Obviously, that's not out of the question, but could Obama marshal a diplomatic army, if you will?
Yes. And I think that a lot of that is probably going on as we speak. There will be no military response to this. Somehow, inserting NATO troops or getting on the ground with Ukrainian forces, I just think all of that is simply out of the question, partly because it's not feasible and partly because it's not worth it. The United States has a dog in this fight, but it's not a dog that warrants American military intervention. But I do think that what we will see is U.S., European Union, democratic allies around the world. I wouldn't be surprised if other countries that are often on Russia's side speak up in opposition to what's happened here. And so, coming back to Putin's motives, I think this is going to leave Russia in a weaker position globally, because Putin has made a business of being a leader who stands up to Washington, who leads those disgruntled with Western hegemony. And I'm afraid that he's gone a bit too far here and demonstrated that he really is more interested in power grabs, in a kind of diplomacy that looks like it is not one with any kind of benign intent, but one that throws the world back decades, if not centuries.
And of course, his whole foreign policy is predicated upon non-interference in others' affairs. So, I thank you for joining us, Charles Kupchan.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Charles Kupchan, who was Director of European Affairs on the National Security Council during the Clinton administration. He's now a Professor of International Affairs at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service and is a Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back talking with a Ukrainian specialist on nationalism, revolutions, and empire, looking into what Kiev can do to reach out to the Russian-speaking East.